Second thing, second of three, so we'll be done here in a bit. Jacob learned that the way of the transgressor is hard. His descendant Solomon would say that. You see, he valued the gifts of God, but he pursued them in ungodly sorts of ways. Deception is not God's way. And so God showed Jacob. He made Jacob grow up while he was using him, while he was being the blessing, while he was becoming the blessing. His 12 sons were being conceived and born. So after taking advantage of his father Isaac's blindness, he went into exile for 20 years, and he never saw his co-conspirator, his mom, again. And God showed Jacob just how blind he could be. He loved this girl, Rachel. She was in his heart and in his mind. 7 years he worked out in the blazing sun so that he could marry Rachel. So when the wedding day came, he was ready to be married to Rachel. And here comes Rachel. Here comes his bride, all covered in veils and this and that. And the party goes on, and the wine is being drunk. Da, 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 and you are going to your wedding tent, a dark place. And when the sunlight came through the little light places in that tent in the morning, he woke up with Leah. Jacob, you were blind. You missed the whole thing. You were deceived. It can happen to you. Jacob blindly married the wrong sister. Later on, when he had all of his children by his two wives and their maidservants, he's going back to the land of Canaan to face his brother Esau. He blindly discriminates among his sons and wives. He puts them out there in front of him in the order in which he cares about them. The ones who are least valued to him, he puts out in the very front, the sons of the handmaidens. And he puts the handmaidens out there. And then he puts Leah and her kids. And then he puts Rachel and her son Joseph. So you knew what his heart was. He just blindly did not think about what they were all about, what that message was to them, and what it created among them. So it wouldn't be just a few years later when the sons of the handmaidens would sell that little brat in the back to the Egyptians. Jacob set that up. When they got into the land, their sister Dinah was taken by some local chieftain and was raped and kept by them. And Jacob didn't deal with it. And so he loses control of his sons for the rest of the story and thereon. His second and third sons murder all the men of that city in revenge. And Jacob says, "What have you done to me?" And they were saying, "What haven't you done for us, Dad?" Later on, we're going to see this story echoed again in the David story. Now, does it mean it's not true if the writer skillfully uses some of the same words and connects those two? Absolutely not. He's just emphasizing important things. We're going to see one of David's daughters, his daughter Tamar, is going to be raped by her half-brother and then murdered later by Absalom. But you can see it. Tamar wore a multicolored coat. Same words as in the book of Genesis for Joseph. And David tears his cloak just like
Jacob tore his cloak, and he received that blood-soaked, multicolored coat from his son Joseph. You'll see the coat again when Joseph leaves it in the hands of Potiphar's wife. And Jacob was blinded for many years about what really happened to his son Joseph. He was blind. His sons deceived him. All of them. They had their story and they kept it straight for years and years. So here's the deal. The way of the transgressor is hard. You cannot cheat your way into heaven. God knows. If you say, well, I said a little prayer when I was in youth group, and now I've just lived like hell for 30 years. Do you think God noticed? Well, He's the God of grace. Don't plan on that being the way it works out. If you think you can take advantage of God, you better stand in line with a lot of people, like Jacob, who found out you don't get away with that stuff. You can't inherit the kingdom of heaven by your first birth. Well, I was born into a good Christian family. We were Lutherans, we were Catholics, we were evangelicals, we were whatever. You come into the kingdom of heaven by your second birth. Your birth from above. You're being born again. He doesn't care if you're a man or a woman. He doesn't care if you're a Jew or a Greek. You will be that person. You are either a man or a woman. And that's a controversial statement nowadays, but there it is. And you will live out your life as a woman or as a man serving the Lord. But don't think that any of that, well, I'm German. I'm Swedish. I'm Italian. Good for you, says God. Hope it works out for you. Hope you enjoy the food. Whatever. But you're serving me, and you come into the kingdom of heaven not because of that, not because you're a great athlete, not because you're beautiful, not because you're a nice person. You come through the body and the blood of Jesus the Messiah, like everybody else. And that is the hardest message of all for a person who has all those wonderful things, who is gifted, who's brilliant. Why do I need God? You need God. So you can't cheat your way into heaven. You must be born again. You have to trust Him. Jacob had some real big trust issues, and that's putting it mildly. Let me back up. We were talking about the Bible being the Word of God. Jesus the Christ was the living Word of God. And it follows on there that you and I are living letters to the world. We are God's message to the world. So are you ready to get a t-shirt made for yourself that says, I am the living Word of God? Oh, I don't think I'm ready to put that one on yet. How about, I'm supposed to be the living Word of God. And I do that sometimes in some areas of my life. But we're definitely under construction. That is, we need to trust Him that He is our God and that He has given us what we need. We don't need the right first birth. We need the right second birth. And so Jacob really had some trust issues. He's running for his life from his brother into exile, and God shows him a vision of a ladder going up to heaven, and there's angels going up and down the ladder, and the Lord Himself is at the top of the ladder. I mean, how much of a confirmation and an affirmation is that for Jacob? And what does he do? He says, this is really great. I'm so glad. And then he bargains with God. God, if you bring me back to this place and provide me enough food and everything I need, then you will be my God. Well, that is so big of you, Jacob. What a trusting guy you are. And God was okay. Okay, one last thing really quickly, please. Can we get the last slide up there, Ryan? Jacob, Jacob valued the things of God. Jacob learned the hard way that the way of the transgressor is hard. And finally, this. He refused to quit. And that is a huge issue for us. And you'll just see it. He comes back after 20 years. His dad, Isaac, wasn't allowed to leave the land. He wasn't allowed to go to this place to look for a wife because there was pretty good sense that he just might not come back. He was willing to work another 7 years for the woman he loved, even though he'd already worked seven for her. He built his own fortune without the inheritance. He never once said, oh, if I can only get you know, back to the land, I can get, you know, I get my stuff. Nope. He started from zero, and he built his own fortune. So just like Abraham, who came there a wealthy man, Jacob also came there a wealthy man. He went back to Canaan, and this time he had a vision of God. It was more than, he met God. It says he wrestled with a man all night in order to get back into this land. You afraid of Esau? You worried about him? You should be worried about me. How many of you have ever like wrestled, like in PE or on a team? It's exhausting, isn't it? That's why the rounds last about 3 minutes, because that's about how long you can last. All night long, because this is for all the marbles. I'm going to kill you. And so Jacob was willing. He refused to quit. He said, let me go, and I will bless you. I ain't letting go until you bless me. He's tough. God wants us to be like that with him. He wants us to hang on to him. Jacob just couldn't be anyone but the son of Isaac and the son of Abraham. That's who he was, that's who he valued. He refused to do anything else. The question for us is, are you and I, are we so strongly of Jesus that we just couldn't be anyone else? Despite the difficulties of growing up. Jacob had a lot of growing up to do. So let me read you a couple of verses that just bounce up against our theological certainties, you know, and I believe in eternal security, but Jesus did say in Matthew 10:22, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The one who refuses to quit. He says again, Matthew 24, later on, about the future times. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The one who stands firm to the end. Finally, Paul says, he lets us know that you're not just doing this out of your own sheer determination. 1 Corinthians 1:7, he says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You're not doing this alone. He says, he will also keep you firm to the end. So you need to refuse to quit, but just know that somebody's helping you hang on. The Lord Jesus wants you to hang on, and he'll help you to do it so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus speaks to us one last time in the book of Revelation from the other side, from the heavens. He says to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Pretty amazing, don't you think? So from Jacob, we learn these hard lessons. Value the things of God. Don't cheat. Don't plan on being a cheater. You need to be born again, and you need to walk with him and know him. And finally, refuse to quit. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for Jacob. He's a hard guy to get close to sometimes in the story. Some of the things he does. And yet, He never really is able to be anybody else than he is. And you grew him and changed him and made him Israel. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to value your church, your gifts, your salvation through Christ. Let us value your spirit and your power in us. Help us not to cheat. Not to pretend like we're better or we're okay just because we're smarter, just because we're better looking, just because we're anything. We're just your people because of Jesus. And finally, Lord, give us determination. Strengthen our hands as we hang on to you. We ask all this today in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.